This morning, we're going to be looking at Isaiah 1, verses 12 through 27. So if you want to open your Bibles there, otherwise it'll be on the screen as well. So we're looking at Isaiah 1, 12 through 27. When you come to appear before me, who has required of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations, I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. How the faithful city has become a whore, she who was full of justice. Righteousness lodged in her, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross, your best wine mixed with water. Your princes are rebels and companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and runs after gifts. They do not bring justice to the fatherless, and the widow's cause does not come to them. Therefore, the Lord declares, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, ah, I will get relief from my enemies and avenge myself on my foes. I will turn my hand against you and will smelt away your dross as with lye and remove all your alloy. And I will restore your judges as at the first and your counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, you shall be the city of shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed by justice, and those in her who repent by righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray a moment. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I jumped right into that so that you'd feel the uncomfortableness of it. It hits you square between the eyes, doesn't it? You've messed up. You've screwed it up, Israel. You missed the point. And God goes into all of these things, and what he's really talking about, what it really comes down to, is justice. But what do you think of when you think of justice? What comes to mind? Maybe it's the justice system, the courts and the lawyers, the judges, and all of the people that make up that system. Or maybe you think of the police officers, the other side of that system. Maybe it's somebody getting handcuffed and dragged off to jail. Maybe that's justice. Actually, our culture is obsessed with this idea of justice, and it shows up in lots of different ways. Right now, there's a movie in theaters called The Justice League. This league of people who go out and bring to justice those that no one else can. Right? That's their job. They go out and they punch bad guys in the face, because that's justice. Of course, if that's your entire understanding of justice, then Isaiah 1 doesn't make much sense. Because it's not the full meaning, right? It's only part of it. In fact, the Bible talks about justice in two very distinct ways. In one sense, justice is punishment for wrongdoing. It's all of those things that I just listed. God tells us to limit justice by punishing those who commit evil, to limit evil by doing justice, by punishing those who commit evil acts. The book of Leviticus is filled with rules about how to punish those that break God's law. But that's not all that justice is. It's not simply punishing wrongdoers. True justice gives people their due or their right. So for those who break the law, their due is to pay a fine, or to go to jail, or be punished in some way. But for those who have been neglected or forgotten or abused, their due is to be properly cared for, to be given food and shelter, to be loved. I think this is part of the reason that adoption goes through the justice system, so that children will be given their rights to a safe place to grow up. In Hebrew, there are two words that talk about justice, and the first one is mishpat. And mishpat is translated as justice because it's this punitive system. It's the word that they use when they're saying so-and-so needs to be brought to justice for what they've done, to be punished for what they've done. And here in Isaiah 1, God says, you Israelites aren't seeking mishpat. In fact, you're coming to worship, and you're singing all of the songs, and you're praying all the prayers, and you're eating the feasts, but then you leave and you ignore the laws. The Israelites didn't even bother to care for the orphan and the widow. They just ignored them and took advantage of them. But the problem goes even deeper. The other Hebrew word that talks about justice is tzadik. Tim Keller defines it this way. Tzadik refers to day-to-day living in which a person conducts all relationships in family and society with fairness, generosity, and equity. I want to read that again. Tzadik refers to day-to-day living in which a person conducts all relationships in family and in society with fairness, generosity, and equity. So tzadik could be translated as being just or living justly, but usually it is instead translated as righteousness. So almost every time in our passage this morning where we see that word righteousness, it's tzadik, this word that talks about justice, living justly. And the idea is that if we are fair and generous and equitable, we will live in right relationship with God and others. We will be righteous people. Of course, the deeper issue for the Israelites and for us is that we don't live that way. We fail to live that way. So in verse 21, God says, righteousness lodged in Jerusalem, but now murderers. Rather than living in right relationship and being fair and equitable and generous, they killed each other. That's the opposite of generosity. Killing another so that you can have something better, so that you can have what you want. And that's the deeper issue. Not only are the Israelites not carrying out redemptive justice, they aren't even trying to live righteous lives. And I think we fall into that same trap at times. We become greedy or self-centered, or we just think we're too busy to do anything, and we think mostly about ourselves. At least I know that happens to me, and I'm sure others of you would say the same. The problem gets even bigger when this happens throughout a society, throughout a whole culture. And the first people to feel it are the marginalized, the orphans and the widows who are already in a risky place. If others aren't caring for them, they quickly suffer. Often in Scripture, when orphans and widows are listed, two other groups are listed as well. And it's called the quartet of the vulnerable often. And that's the poor and the foreigners. So you have the orphans, the widows, the poor, and the foreigner amongst you, or immigrant. And I think in our culture right now, these groups are being ignored, and they're being marginalized as well. And as a culture, we are turned inward. We've become greedy and self-centered and unconcerned with those who can't do something for us. Fortunately, we're not left there. Isaiah doesn't just say, you're terrible people. He says, here's what you need to do. Verse 18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. The sins mentioned here are, of course, the sins of neglecting justice and neglecting the marginalized. But God offers forgiveness. He offers that if we repent, if we turn back, we will be forgiven and washed clean. The Lord calls us to be willing and obedient, to learn to do good, to correct oppression, and to seek justice. Of course, he knows we're going to mess it up again. We will fail time and again. And of course, forgiveness is offered time and again. God came to earth as Jesus Christ and showed us what it means to live justly. He showed us true righteousness. He called out oppressors and cared for orphans, widows, foreigners, and the poor. Then, on top of all of that, he submitted himself to our injustice. He submitted himself to the injustices of the scribes and the Pharisees. He died wrongly convicted by their justice system. And the beautiful thing is that's not the end of the story, because God's grace is greater than human injustice. Christ rises again, offering us grace and new life. His life, death, and resurrection inaugurate the kingdom here on earth. Now we are called to live into that kingdom. And we are called to live into the kingdom of God, where no one is neglected or marginalized, and where people receive their proper due. That's our call today. We are forgiven, and we are called to live out God's justice for all people. In Isaiah 1, God promises that if they turn, the city of Jerusalem will be called the city of righteousness, the city of Tzedek, meaning that all of its citizens will live just lives. Yes, they will punish the wrongdoer, but on top of that, they will treat others with fairness, generosity, and equity. What do you think it would take for Holland or Grand Haven or Grand Rapids to be called cities of righteousness? What can you do this week to start working toward that goal, to give the marginalized their due? Or if that seems too complex or too hard, let's start simpler. How can you start to recognize the marginalized among us this week? Where are they? Who are they? We've heard one answer to that question this morning, that it's those in the foster care system. They've been marginalized and ignored. But who else fits into that category? Who's ignored or pushed aside in our area? Christ sought out the outsider, and he offered them new life and provided for their physical needs. We are called to do the same. Let's work together on doing that same thing in our community. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would give us open eyes and open hands. Allow us to observe who around us needs our help. Help us to see who needs your love and your grace this week, and help us to act when we notice it. Help us to be generous people who reach out to those who need our help, and we provide it for them through your Holy Spirit. We know we can't do these things alone, and we trust that you go with us whenever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.